I'm Brian Culbertson. I want to welcome you to the Refuge Podcast. Each week we'll include the message from Saturday night along with some selections of our worship music that evening. I'm glad you're listening here, but more so I want to encourage you. Visit a local church. Podcasts and online sermons, they're great, but they're never a replacement for being connected to God's people within His church. If you'd like to visit us here at Refuge, stop by any Saturday night. To get all the details, go to www.refuge.church. Thanks for joining us. Now, Misfits, go change the world.
Welcome. Welcome to Refuge. Excited tonight to dive right in to Jonah. We're going to be looking at the last part of chapter one. Brian did a great job introducing Jonah to us last week, and so the first three verses. Now we're going to pick up in verse three, go through the end of the chapter, and we're going to have a chance to worship together again at the end of the message, because I really believe that that song that we just sang, "Give me faith to trust what you say, for you are good and your love is great," is the very thing that Jonah needed in the midst of his storm that he was going through. He needed to know that he could trust God. He needed to know that God is good. And those are two things that as we look at this series, as we start to walk through Jonah and we get into the text tonight, we're going to see that all of us are Jonah, that all of us are selfish, all of us are prideful, all of us are spiteful, all of us want to see people around us get what they deserve or what we think they deserve. All of us have a God complex where we're like, God, if you will just give me control of the universe for 2 seconds, I will make all things right. And we all agree, right? Everyone, and if you don't think you have that complex, just let someone else ride with you as you're driving down the road, right? If somebody cuts you off, you're like, Lord, I'm going to spite them, right? I'm going to smote them or smite them. And so here's the deal. Tonight as we look at Jonah, I don't want us to look at Jonah like, and this is what Brian talked about last week. I don't want us to look at it like this is the kid's story. I want us to look at this as we are Jonah. Right? The very reason this book is in God's word is so that we will examine our hearts and realize that we are Jonah. And that tonight, specifically, we're going to look at what to do in the midst of the storm. And the message title for tonight is Life in the Midst of a Storm. Now, that's very fitting because we just survived a very powerful storm. Right? And there's another one cooking in the Atlantic right now. Irma is going to whip some tail and take some names, right? Like already, I think it's category 4 now, right? The eye wall has developed. I don't know about all that meteorological stuff, but I just saw that on the Weather Channel once. But like, it's a big storm that's coming this way, and it's going to hit somewhere, and somebody's going to get some serious storm. And so what do you do in the midst of a storm? Now, you've already noticed that preparations for the storm are in full effect here in Southwest Florida because gas has jumped, spiked 20 cents in the last week, right? You're like, it's not even here yet, and they're already gouging us, right? And so I can only imagine the price of everything else is going to go up as well. So when you leave here tonight, head by Costco. Is it still open? I'm not sure. Nick, is it still? No, it's closed, all right? So you missed out. You can't prepare tonight, but go get some water, right? Go get some sundries, go get some bread and all the things that you need because there's a storm coming. But the question tonight is life in the midst of a storm. As we look at the rest of chapter one, what do you do when nothing makes sense? And tonight we're going to see this. We're going to see it from the perspective of Jonah when he's on a boat in the middle of the storm. We're going to see it from the perspective of the sailors who are in that same storm on the boat in the middle of the same storm. And they're like, nothing is making sense. How do we deal with life right now? And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation when you didn't know what to do, right? Have you ever had one of those, like even like a moral dilemma, like I'm not sure, you know, how do I choose the lesser of two evils because in the end I'm still choosing evil, right? How do I do this, right? A funny story, an example that happened to our family, my mother-in-law and my in-laws were in town for a time, and we were celebrating a adoption ceremony that had happened downtown, and so we went out to eat and celebrate with this family after the adoption ceremony was over, and we went to the only place that could accommodate all of us at once, and that was the Golden Feeding Trough, Golden Corral, and so we went there, and I'm sitting across from my wife, my daughter's next to me, my mother-in-law is right there, we're having a great dinner, and everything's going really, really well. My wife goes up, and she comes back, she's like, can you believe they have cotton candy here at the Golden Crown. I'm like, that's awesome, right? That is fantastic. Well, my daughter wasn't at the table when she brought back the cotton candy, and my mother-in-law, really, really wise, really, really smart, when my daughter was making her way back to the table, she was coming back with Ia, her friend, and she's like, hide the cotton candy. And in the moment, I was in the midst of a storm because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do with this cotton candy. You can't just hide it under a napkin, right? You can't just smash it, right? And so I couldn't hide it. And I knew that my daughter's really, really good at finding stuff. And so she would have found the cotton candy and then she would have eaten it. And then we had to deal with sugar coma and then the sugar rush and all that stuff. We didn't want to have to deal with that. So I did what any person would do in that situation. I took all the cotton candy and I shoved it in my mouth. Wasn't thinking. I just panicked, right? And so when you don't know what to do, just open your mouth and shove stuff in. And that seems to be my defense mechanism for a lot of life. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to eat now, right? And so I remember my mother-in-law just started dying of hysterics because she's like, I didn't know what to do. So I just started literally shoving this cotton candy, just packing it in. And when she came to the table, she's like, hey, Daddy. And I'm like, nothing to see here, little one, right? And so, but here's the question for you tonight, and I don't know, that's just a funny example, but what do you do in the moment when you don't know what to do? When life doesn't make sense, and you're just trying to figure out, I literally don't know what to do, and I've got a split second to decide, what do I do? How do I react? How do I respond? What do you do when nothing makes sense? And that's the setup tonight that I want us to look at, because maybe your reaction is just to panic, right? Maybe your reaction is to shut down, like, right, you can't handle it. Maybe, there's the fight or flight mentality, like, I'm going to persevere, I'm going to fight through this, or peace out, I'm done, right? And so tonight we're going to look at, what do you do when nothing makes sense? And with that, let's go to the text tonight. We're going to pick back up in verse 1, chapter 1, and then just read through. And I want to pause along the way because I want us to walk through this together, right? So this is the setup, verse 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai, right? And so Jonah receives a direct word from God. Pretty cool, right? Something that all of us would say, God, this would be awesome if you would just like speak to me in this moment, in this situation, speak to me. Jonah had that direct revelation to Jonah. This is what God said. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. And this is where we got to last week. But Jonah got up and he went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and he went on board hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. And now, this is the question that I want us to ask, because this answer to this question sets up everything that we're going to see tonight about life in the midst of the storm. Why in the world, when God says, Jonah, get up and go, I want you to go to this city and I want you to announce my coming judgment, why in the world did Jonah get up and go a different direction? Well, the answer tonight is because Jonah was walking wounded. Jonah had some wounds in his heart, in his life. He had some emotional scars. He had some issues that he hadn't dealt with. He had some moments that he didn't want to expose to the light of God's goodness and grace. And as a result of that, when God tells him to go one direction, because of his own baggage, he turns and walks the opposite way. He literally does a 180 on God. God tells him, I want you to go here, and he goes the other way. And I want us to realize tonight that all of us are Jonah. Here's some of the things that Jonah was dealing with. Jonah was selfish. Right? Jonah didn't want to go to the city of Nineveh to preach because Nineveh was the great city of the Assyrian Empire, and the Assyrians kicked some serious butt. All right, like they were known for their brutality, right? They were known for pillaging and plundering those around them, like taking what they wanted, doing whatever they wanted with other people's stuff. They lived by taking from others. And so I can imagine Jonah grew up in a culture of hate towards the Assyrians. He grew up hearing stories, man, those Assyrians are awful people. They are less than. You know, here we are, we're the Jews. We're God's chosen people. And those are the Assyrians. They are those people, right? And so Jonah was selfish. He was prideful. He was spiteful. And he was afraid. He wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. So what better way to make sure that happens, that when God says, go and announce my judgment, than going a different direction? You know, the one way that Jonah can make sure that Nineveh is destroyed is by not announcing the coming judgment of God and allowing God just to destroy them. And so he walks away because he was angry. And I can imagine, let's look. And here's the beautiful thing about God's word is that we're not in this story, but we're looking back on this story. And so Jonah chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 actually give us the very thing about what's going on in Jonah's heart on why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. And so let's look at this together. So on the screen it says, didn't I, this is Jonah complaining to God, God, didn't I say before I even left home that you would do this? This is why I ran away to Tarshish. So we don't have to speculate. We know the exact reason why Jonah is running from God, why he's doing a 180, not listening to God. This is why. Because I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God. You are slow to get angry, and you are filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Jonah knew, if I go to Nineveh, if I preach your message to the Ninevites, you're going to have mercy on them. You're going to have compassion on them. You are going to pour out your unfailing love on them. You are going to be kind. You're not going to pour out your wrath. There's not going to be any destruction. And so what does this say about Jonah? That he's a man of no mercy, no compassion, no wrath. He's a man of wrath, a man of hate, and a man of destruction. He's the exact opposite of what God wants to do in the Ninevites. He looks at these people and says, I want them to get what they deserve. And that's you and me. That's you and me. We want people who wrong us to get what they deserve. We want everyone else around us to get less than what they deserve, and we want to get better than what we deserve. We judge people by their actions, and we ask them to judge us by our motives, right? We ask people to judge us by our intentions because we intended to do the right thing, but yet we don't extend that same common courtesy to those around us. We judge them by their actions, and we say, you are less than. And this is the hard part. Look at the way we talk to one another in our culture. Look at how mean and hurtful we are towards one another. Like, this happened this week, and I'm going to be honest with you, it really pissed me off, and I hope I can say that. I didn't say a word as bad as Brian said a couple of weeks ago, so, right? You know, moral dilemma, he said something worse, so, right? Just kidding. But the Southern Baptist Convention this past week released a statement on homosexuality and transgenderism, and it was called the Nashville Statement. And it really makes me mad, not because of the truth that's in there. I believe what they are saying is true. I get it. 1 Corinthians 6 is in God's word, that we were bought with a price, that we are to honor God with our bodies. It talks about homosexuality in the New Testament. It talks about it all throughout, you know, God's word. But here's the deal. Houston is a city underwater right now. Right, and there is so much that we can be doing to love on and to bring the hope and the light and the joy that's in Christ. Why in the world would we take this opportunity to lift a banner high and say, let's beat up on the gays? Right, and that just doesn't make any sense to me. Right, and there are men who have signed this statement that I absolutely respect. I read their books, I read their blogs, but I just think at the end of the day, it really, really upsets me. That why in the world, why would we come out bashing these homosexuals, but yet we don't say anything about the divorce rate inside the church? Or we don't say anything about the rate of pornography or sex trafficking that's happening inside of the church, but yet we'll pick an easy target and, hey, let's everybody beat up on the gays. And it doesn't make any sense to me, right? And in those moments, I see that we're Jonah. we see a group of people that are less than, right? And trust me, I get it, right? Galatians chapter 5 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, and it talks about one of the fruits of the flesh is sexual immorality, and that includes homosexuality, but it also includes pornography, and it also includes adultery. But you don't see the Southern Baptist Convention releasing a statement on that. You sure don't see them releasing a statement about gluttony. Oh, that's too close to home. Let's have a get-together and eat some fried chicken and discuss this, right? It's like, no, like we choose our sins that we want to pick and point out. And it's just like Jonah. Like, I'm not going to go to Nineveh and I'm not going to proclaim the good news because God, as soon as I do that, you're going to have mercy on them and you're going to forgive them and I want to see them pay. And in the moments in our hearts when we say, I want to see someone pay, it's because we've got some undealt with baggage inside our own hearts. We've got some issues that we haven't dealt with. And tonight, I want us to look at this and to say, let's deal with it, right? Maybe Jonah, maybe when he was in middle school, he was beat up by an Assyrian, right? And he's never gotten over it, and he just wants to see all Assyrians die. Right? I don't know. But why in the world is he so hard-hearted that he would look at an entire nation and say, I want them all to burn and suffer under the wrath of God? How much hate in your heart do you have to look at an entire city and say, no, they don't deserve the grace of God? How much hate do you have in your heart to look at a people who are struggling with sin in their life and say, we're going to release a statement, but we're not going to get down and dirty and messy and minister to you. And I just think it just reminds us that we're all Jonah, that there are people in our lives that we want to see suffer, that there are coworkers who have wronged us, right? There are spouses who have hurt us. There's somebody, maybe a parent, maybe a sibling. There's somebody who's done us wrong that we just want to say, gosh, I want to see you pay. And it's in that moment that we need to realize that God offers mercy and compassion and grace and love, and that he is eager to turn back from destroying people. And so when Jonah is content to go the other direction, God's not content with that. Look at the next verse. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Look who caused it, right? This isn't a natural phenomenon. This is a supernatural phenomenon. God is actively involved in causing this storm because he wants to get his message to the people of Nineveh. Jonah thinks that he can run the other way, and God says, not so fast. Jonah thinks that he can go to Joppa and sail to Tarshish and get away from Nineveh, the exact opposite of where Nineveh is. And God says, not so fast. And so what does he do? The Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Verse 5, fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors, they shouted to their gods for help, and they threw their cargo overboard to lighten the ship. And now here we see the storm, right? And how do we respond in the midst of the storm? Look at the sailors. Look at their response, right? These are men who have sailed the Mediterranean. They know what they're doing. They know their way around a boat. And when they start freaking out, like, this is a bad deal, right? It's like that shirt that we've all seen that says, I'm a bomb technician. If you see me running, try to keep up, right? We all know that, right? If those guys are running, like, you've seen that shirt? Maybe you haven't, all right? I should have brought that t-shirt thing, right? But right, it says, I'm a bomb technician. If you see me running, try to keep up. Because if that guy's running, he knows something's up, right? And so we're going to go with him, right? If you see police and you see them running away from a situation, you're going to keep up with them. If you see sailors freaking out in a boat in the middle of a storm, like, this is a cause for you to be concerned, right? This isn't I got this shimmy, right? No, like, this is a serious deal, right? This is bad. And the sailors, they're fearing for their lives, all right? So this just isn't a common squall. And look what they do. The desperate sailors, they shout to their gods for help. Can I get a little help here, right? Like this is, they're so afraid, they're so desperate that they throw their livelihood overboard, Right? This is what they do for a living, and they're so scared for their lives, they realize that it's not worth this cargo to go down with the ship. So they start throwing stuff overboard. Right? This is a bad situation. Right? They're desperate, they're afraid, and now they're like, it's either me or my stuff, so let's get rid of the stuff because I want to live. Right? They're desperate. And that may be your response in the midst of a storm is you're just desperate. You're clinging to whatever you can. So the sailors, they're desperate. But look what happens on the other side. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. And it makes us ask the question, why? Why was Jonah asleep? Maybe because he was depressed. You know, maybe because he was just under so much emotional anguish because he knows he's running from God that he's like, I'm just going to go rest. Maybe he's weary from dealing with his wounds. Maybe, you know, he doesn't like what's come up, realizing that, you know, God is going to be compassionate towards the Ninevites, knowing that God is going to have mercy, that God isn't going to pour out his wrath and destruction, but yet his heart is so wicked that he wants that. Maybe he's just like, I just got to go lay down. I gotta go take a nap. Maybe he had some bad gluten. I don't know, right? There's something that's happened here where Jonah's just like, I gotta peace out. I gotta have little time out here, right? I need to go take a break. And the question we ask is why? Why is that? And I think the answer is, and you know this, intuitively we all know this. Why was he so exhausted? Because it's exhausting trying to fake it. It's exhausting trying to fake it. Right? Have you ever told a lie and then you have to tell another lie to cover the first lie? Then you have to tell another lie to cover those lies? And then in the end, you're like, I don't even know what's true anymore. And it's just, it gets so mentally exhausting. And I think this is exactly where Jonah's at. He's just, it's exhausting trying to fake it. Like he's tired of trying to fake it. He's like, I want the Ninevites, I want them to die. I want them to suffer. They deserve it. And I'm just going to go lay down because I can't deal with this right now. And so that's really the two responses that we see in the midst of a storm. Look at verse 6. So the captain went down, and I love this, right? The captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this, right? Remember, the captain's freaking out, right? He's already throwing stuff overboard, like, and so I'm sure he's going downstairs or going down into the hold to realize, what else can I throw overboard because I don't want to die? And he goes down there, and here's little Jonah just balled up in a little ball, sleeping like a baby. And he's like, how can you sleep at a time like this? Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. And what I think he's really trying to say is, hey, we're all up here on the top deck screaming at our gods. Why don't you come join us? Because it's not working, right? So come on up, help us out because we're going to die. And in that moment, I feel like Jonah is probably, he's probably frustrated. Like, I can't even get on a ship. I can't even sail to Tarshish and get away from God. Right? I can't even escape him on a ship. I'm trying to go the opposite direction. I'm trying to get away from the Ninevites. I'm trying to rebel against what God wants to do. And I can't even escape him in the middle of the sea. Verse 7. Then the crew, they cast lots. They rolled the dice. They cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods because, again, the crew realized this isn't a normal storm. Right? This is a supernatural storm. Even they realize that something is going on that's not normal here. And so they're like, they're screaming at their gods. They're desperate. They're throwing stuff overboard. They're like, something's got to give. And so, hey, let's roll the dice. Let's see who's the guilty party here. And that's what they do. They rolled the dice to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. And when they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Now, it worked here, right? But don't let this be the way you make major decisions in your life, right? Right? Like, what should I do with my life? I'm going to flip a coin, right? Don't do that because even a broken clock is what? It's right twice a day, right? So they cast lots and it worked here, but I'm not saying that this is, what should I eat tonight? You know, Chipotle or Moe's? Flip a coin. That's not a bad decision because either way, it's pretty good. Mondays always go Moe's though. Just throwing that out there, all right? But here's the deal. Not a great way to make decisions, but it works here because God even used this primitive kind of pagan practice to point out that, hey, Jonah's the reason why all this is happening. And so what happens? They go to him. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded of him, who are you? What's your line of work? What country are you from? What's your nationality? I can imagine they're in the midst of a storm. Water is swamping the boat. And here, all of a sudden, the sailors are giving Jonah the 20 questions. All right, who are you? What's your nationality? What are you doing? Like, and this is what he says. Verse 9, Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And all of a sudden, no bueno. Verse 10, the sailors were terrified. They've heard stories about this God of the Hebrews. They've heard stories about the God of Israel. They know what this God has done to cities like Jericho. They know what this God has done to the Egyptians. They know the stories. And all of a sudden, this guy, Jonah, has hacked off that God. Not good. Right? They realize that there's nothing good that's going to come of this. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them that he was running away from the Lord. Kind of a little anecdote that he didn't think was that important when they're in Joppa, right? Like, hey guys, can I get on your boat? I got lots of money. I'll buy a ticket. I'm kind of running away from God. Sure, we'll take your money. Come on, crazy guy. Come on. Yeah, let's do this, right? Right? But then in the midst of the sea and the storm, they're like, wait a second, all right, what God exactly are you running from? It's like the God, God of gods, Lord of lords, King of kings, the God of Israel, creator of the earth and the sea, everything. Okay, this isn't good, right? This is not a good situation. And they said, why did you do this? Why are you trying to run? It's just futile. Right? Why are you running? Verse 11. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop this storm? Right? And that's the question we ask in the midst of the storm. How do we deal? How do we deal right now? How do we get through life one day at a time, one hour at a time, one moment at a time? What do we do in the midst of the storm? How can we get out of this? And so Jonah, his response, verse 12, throw me into the sea. Jonah said, throw me into the sea and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Now, let's not feel bad for Jonah at this point, because this is not the proper response, right? The proper response for Jonah would be, all right, turn the ship around. Go back to Joppa. I'm going to get off. I'm going to go preach. I'm going to go proclaim what God told me to proclaim to the Ninevites. But he doesn't want to do that. And so people feel, oh, don't feel bad for Jonah. He's what he's trying to do is he's trying to escape. He's trying to say, that's it, I've had enough. I'm not going to deal with God, and I'm not going to proclaim the good news to the people in Nineveh. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go lay down and take a nap. I'm going to escape. I'm going to escape when God finds me in the midst of the sea. I'm going to escape. Just throw me overboard. I'd rather die than do what God has for me. And so he tries to escape through apathy. And how many times have we done this in the midst of the storm? Like, you know what? This is too hard. This sucks. I'm done. Right? I don't even care anymore. I don't care. I don't care what happens. I don't care about this marriage. I don't care about this relationship. I don't care about the family. I don't care about the job. I don't care about any of this stuff. I'm done. This sucks. It's hard. I'm out. That's exactly what Jonah said. And remember, we are all Jonah because of our wounds, because of our issues. Right, we're all like, hey, I'm peacing out. First sign this gets tough, I'm done. I'm gone. I'm out. And he's trying to escape through apathy. He's not a hero here saying, I will gladly follow my sword. Throw me overboard and the storm will calm down. He's like, this sucks. God wants me to do something that I don't want to do, so just I'd rather die. And he just tries to escape through apathy. And this is one of the ways that we deal when the storms roll our way. We just roll up or roll over. Like, it's too tough. No, that diet thing, it's too hard. No, this relationship with another human being, that's tough. I'm good. No, I'm not going to beat this addiction. I'd rather have this substance than be healthy. No, I'm good. I don't want it. It's too hard. It's too tough. It's going to cost me something. No, I don't want that. Just throw me overboard. I'd rather die. And we try to escape through apathy. We're just saying, hey, look, I quit. It's too tough. It's too hard. I can't deal. This storm is too much for me. I can't deal right now. Just throw me overboard. I'm done. Look at the other way. You can respond. Instead, verse 13, love these guys. These are the real heroes. The sailors, what do? They're like, all right, you're an idiot. We knew that when we picked you up and you're saying you were running from God. So we're not going to throw you overboard. That's crazy. So crazy man running from God. So what we're going to do, we're going to row even harder, right? We're going to beat this storm. And that's the other way that we respond in the midst of the storm is we try to escape through our efforts. We're like, I'm going to do it or I'm going to die trying. Like I'm not going to roll over and die. I'm going to give this everything that I have. I'm going to fight tooth and nail, tooth and nail, tooth and nail. I'm going to fight. I'm going to put 110% into this. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. Even if it hurts, even if it costs me pain, we're going to row even harder than we've ever rowed before. And we're going to defeat this God by our human efforts. And so many times we get in situations where we just think, I can beat this on my own. I can do this. I'm strong enough. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I got this. Maybe the greatest downfall of the American culture is this idea that you can do it. Right, we've seen enough commercials that say, just it's you, it's all about you, you can do this, just self-actualization, it's self-esteem, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And what happens at the end of the day when you put in every single ounce of effort that you had and you still came up short? Because that's exactly what happened with the sailors. Right? They rowed even harder to get the ship to the land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them and they couldn't make it. And that's the same thing every single time you and I try to buck God and say, God, forget what you have to say. I'm going to do this on my own. And we're trying to row against the storms in our life and we're trying to do this on our own. You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be angry at God because you're going to realize you can't do it. You can't do it. And so those are the two ends of the spectrum that we have. Either we roll up and die because we just can't anymore, or we just die because we died trying. And I think the real way comes out in Jonah chapter 1 when we look what happens. Verse 14, it says, then they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to God, to the Lord, not just any God that they were hurling up prayers to earlier because they were scared for their lives. They cried out to the Lord. They cried out to God, Yahweh. And this is what they said. Oh Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin. Don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, Lord, you have sent this storm. It's not our gods. It's you, the one and only true God. You have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Because, God, you are good. And Jonah doesn't understand this right now. But you are good. And we don't understand what's going on right now, but we know that you've got a good reason for this storm right now at this moment. So God, we're going to trust you. In verse 15, then the sailors picked Jonah up. This is craziness, right? This is crazy. They pick up a man. They pick Jonah up and they threw him into the raging sea. Imagine what happens when they get to the other side where they're going. So how was your trip? You're not going to believe this. We threw a guy overboard. What? Like, this is not what sailors do. Like, this is absolute craziness. But in the midst of the craziness of the storms of this life, I'm telling you, there's only one way to deal. And that way is to surrender. You can't just roll over and die and escape through apathy. And you can't just say, I'm going to get through this come hell or high water. I'm going to try, or die trying. The only way to get through the storms of this life is, God, I surrender. I trust you. God, I'm going to try. This is craziness. But God, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to trust you. In this marriage, God, I'm going to trust you. With this wound on my heart, I'm going to trust you. With my body, I'm going to trust you. With this addiction, I'm going to trust you. With this hatred I have toward these people, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to trust you. Because here's the thing we've got to realize. God is going to accomplish his purpose. He's going to accomplish his purpose with or without us. Right? God is going to get Jonah to Nineveh. Whether or not Jonah wants to get to Nineveh, God is going to get him there. Right? He's trying to go the opposite direction. God's purposes cannot be thwarted. Even through reluctant and unwilling servants, God is going to accomplish his purpose. And so here's the thing. You and I are Jonah. There are areas in our life where we just don't want to surrender. There are areas in our life because of what's happened, the culture that we've grown up in, right? The things that we've experienced that we say, God, I will give you most of me, but not this. You can't have this. You can't have this portion, right? I'll be real and I'll be honest with everything, but you can't have this part. That's never going to work with God. And so what we do when the storms come, when we face, like God wants us to surrender everything to him, we're like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give that up. We're either just going to quit and say, peace out, I'm done. Get frustrated with this whole walking with Christ and personal holiness and just leave. Or we're going to try to produce this righteousness of look at me and look at all the stuff I've done and all the stuff that I'm doing and doing. We're going to fake it until we can make it, and we never make it. So what do? We surrender. And here are the words that I want you to realize. This is what we're surrendering to. I've got some verses I want to share with you. This is what Jesus has to say. Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary. I mean, are you just tired of trying to fake it until you make it? Are you tired of producing your own righteousness? Are you tired of carrying all this baggage and all these wounds? Come to me, all ye who are weary. All of you, if you're weary and heavy burdens are weighing you down, come to me, you're going to find rest. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you peace. Not just like absence of conflict, but I'm going to give you wholeness. You're not going to have any wounds. Come to me, all you who are weary. John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But my purpose, Jesus says, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Like there's more than just running from God. There's more from just saying, peace out, I'm done, I quit. This is too hard. This is too tough. There's more than just trying to check off all your legalism boxes. There's more. There's a rich and satisfying life found by trusting and surrendering to the Holy Spirit every single day. 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite passages of all God's Word. 2 Corinthians 5, maybe this is what you need to hear tonight. Anyone who belongs to Jesus Christ is a new creation. You're a new person. What's happened to you in the past, it's gone. It's dealt with. It's over. Jesus has cleansed you. By his stripes, you're healed. You're cleansed. You're whole. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And just a couple verses later, how did this happen? Verse 21, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. It happened because God loved us so much, he sent his son who took on all of our wounds, took on all of our baggage, took on all of our junk, all our racism, all our hatred, all our fears, all our failures. He took it to the cross, and he laid his life down, and he said, it's finished. You don't have to try anymore. You don't have to produce your own righteousness. I'm giving you my sons. You don't have to say, this is too hard, I quit. Come to me, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you a rich and satisfying life because that's what happens when we trust in Jesus Christ. I'm not promising you a bed of roses. There may be a bed of thorns, but it's worth it because God is good. And he allows us to go through the storms for some good reason. Sometimes we know those reasons this side of eternity. Sometimes we don't. But God is good. So here's the prayer tonight. It's the song we're about to sing. God, give me faith to trust what you say. God, give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, but I give you my life. God, I surrender. I surrender all of it to you. Let's pray together. Jesus, in this moment, Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you would be honored and glorified by our worship. God, for those that are in here, God, who are just sick and tired of trying, God, who are just so weary from trying to do all this on their own, God, I pray that you would give them rest. God, for those who say, I can't do it anymore, I quit, it's too hard, it's too tough, God, I pray tonight that they would come, lay down those heavy burdens, and come to you and find rest. God, that we'd realize that you laid down your life on the cross for us, so that, God, in the midst of the storms of this life, we would surrender to you. God, give us faith to trust what you say. God, that we'd recognize that you're good and that your love is great for us. God, thank you for this chance to worship you, for who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.